If you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll tell you what's on my heart. You and I were bombarded continually at all times. There's words that are going all around us, trying to get inside of us. And so I heard this phrase, you know, you and I, we need to check the words and make sure that the words are the wonder of the Lord and not the weed of the enemy. Because God's words, they make us wonder. They inspire us. They amaze us. They create an expectation, a hope in our lives. While the devil, he has words that are weeds. Weeds to bring discouragement and to hurt and to hinder. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to look at some things that you'll be familiar with. But I think it'll inspire us to be cautious on one hand, but courageous on the other. Be cautious in what we're receiving, but then when we know the source, all of a sudden we are not cautious any longer, but we're courageous because we know that we've heard from the Lord. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's start with verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, I've put together you to one husband. And this is the same words that would talk about our body being put together, a many-membered body. You know that you're together. We're one with Christ, amen? That I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste, a pure, virgin to Christ. Verse number 3. Now concentrate on this. Lay it on your heart. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds. Say, I'm talking about my mind tonight. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, from the singleness that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom you have not, we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You might hold yourself against them. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. I like that. We need to be instantaneous. You know, the Bible says be instant in season and to be instant out of season, right? And that instantaneous, it does create a spontaneous moment where all things are possible. That's what happened. You know, the world talks about the Big Bang Theory. Well, there was a Big Bang, all right. When God spoke, there was an instantaneous moment where His Word produced exactly what He said for it to produce. Tonight, you and I, like I said just a moment ago, we're being bombarded by words, because the Bible says, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14, that there are many voices in the world. And so words is always being presented to you, being presented to me. And we need to be in the place where we recognize that God, by the Holy Ghost, has gave us a filter to be able to recognize whether the word is something that will make us in awe or wonder about God, that will release faith about what God's wanting to do, or whether it's a weed of discouragement, a weed of despair, a weed of hopelessness that the devil desires so desperately to put into God's people. So tonight we're going to look at some things, just to refresh our memory of what the Word says, and just get us in a place and a position to be able to help people. Because have you ever seen a time in your life where there's more people being bombarded with discouragement? I mean, it just seems like it's one bad news after another, because the enemy just wants to overwhelm. He wants to make people lose any confidence and hope that God is in the world. Well, God's in the world because He's first on the throne. Amen? And you and I, we're not going to be shook, because we're building our life on the rock, and we know that all is going to be well regardless of what this world says. Amen? So let's look at this right here. Now, you and I being blood bought, blood washed, we become the very virgin of the Lord. We become a new creature, a new creation by Jesus Christ. And when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're that new creation, that's what we are. Our spirits were created anew, afresh, by the Holy Spirit birthing Jesus, the Word of God, into our spirit. And so we know who we are, and we know that when we accepted that message, that gospel message of Jesus Christ, that we were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. He's the head, and we're a part of this many-membered body. And so the Apostle Paul here, as he's writing the church at Corinth, they were a very active church in the things of the Spirit. But as active as they were in the things of the Holy Spirit, they were also very active in the spirit of this world was working through their carnality. And so he's trying to shake them and wake them. And you and I in the world today, we need to make sure that people are being shook. They need to be awakened to the reality that time is not going to go on as it has in times past. The dispensation of grace, I believe it, the door is quickly shutting. And if we're going to get anybody saved, born again, we need to do it now. Amen? All right. So notice what he said. He said he had a fear, a concern about the church. He said, lest by any means. We need to be able to warn people that the devil, he comes, he has many suits of clothing. He has many faces. And with each face and with each suit of clothing that he wears, he has terminology. He has words that will lead people astray. He's not going to come up and to get into you, into our face, and give us a word that will just be obtrusive to us, be like blowing smoke in our face. He's going to breathe and blow something in our face that goes, that makes us question. In other words, he's going to come to the Christian, and as Paul said, as another Jesus, and as somebody who has another gospel. In other words, it's going to seemingly be good news. It's seemingly going to be of Christ and all of those things. So he's going to work in a way within the church body that is religious, that is a word that'll just have a seemingly smidgen of truth about it. And the way he works in the world is he speaks to them in the way that they're already being bent and twisted by the wind of this world. And so you and I have got to be ready to help people to see this is the devil. This is not God. This is not just happenstance. Lest by any means, the devil is willing to do whatever it takes. He loves to speak to our spouse. He spoke through me many times when I didn't realize and understand what he was doing. He loves to speak through those that are closest to us. So any means, he will hurt you. He's out to destroy you. And so what you and I have got to see, when our heart's soft and tender, that we can't let people's actions and words touch, taint, stop that love that God is putting in our heart. Because we've got to recognize this is not the person. It's lest by any means. The devil's working. He's sowing words in their life that are trying to bring weeds. And so Paul says here, he said that as the serpent beguiled Eve. Now, we've talked about it before, but let's just refresh our memory. This word beguiled is a Greek word, expatio, and it means to wholly seduce. In other words, Eve, she was seduced spirit, soul, and body in the garden. That's why when her and Adam, when they sinned, the Bible says, and you know, we get into some things that we don't like to talk about, but the Bible says that she was deceived. Adam just willingly transgressed. And Paul wrote to the Timothy about that, and he explained that in great detail. But she was deceived, and she followed those words. Those words produced a harvest in her life that she never dreamed was there. See, he presented her another gospel. He presented her and Adam with the message, hey, if you just partake of what I'm telling you, you're going to be just like God. And so that's what the enemy's going to do. That's what he's doing in this last generation. He's working in them and convincing them that Mother Earth is God. That this is where they place their hope, their confidence in. This is their religion. This green earth is a new religion. It's not new to you and I. We see it all through the Word of God, but it's new to this generation. And so you and I have got to be in a place, in a position, where we tell them that there's no new thing under the sun, that history is going to repeat itself. And so we can learn from history. We've got to be in that place, in that position. But he says that your mind should be corrupted. So what's the devil going to do? He wants your spirit. Okay, let's be clear. We understand that. He wants your spirit to be in allegiance with him. But the way that he can get that is he's got to work through your mind. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And if he can get your mind then will ultimately determine where your body goes. And so he's going to give words that are produced, have a fruit of weeds in people's lives, because he's going to get them to flow and to go in a certain way. And so you and I, we've got to be in the place and say, listen, he's going to come in a way that's beguiling. He's going to come in a way that's seducing. He's not going to come and get in your face and just blatantly try to push you. He's going to entice. He's going to slowly feed you. Nobody wakes up in judgment in hell. What happens? Slowly, little by little, the fox destroys the very vine. The little fox, he works in ways and avenues. And so you and I want to be ready for that. We want to recognize that the only way we can know the counterfeit is to know the authentic. So we've got to make sure that we know Jesus more than anything else. Amen? All right. So with that being said, let's jump back here to the 10th chapter. And let's pick it up in verse number 3, because Paul helps us so much. In 2 Corinthians, starting in 10 and 3, he tells us how we can recognize, how we can keep our minds in the simpleness, in the singleness of Jesus, rather than being bombarded by the words of the world. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, aren't you glad? Because we see that Adam and Eve, that they fell in the garden in this same flesh body. But yet we serve a Jesus Christ who come in this same flesh body, and he was able to overcome. So he's your source. He's my source. And so now, because Jesus overcome in the flesh where you and I couldn't, we depend upon what he done, and we fight the battle not in our ability in the flesh, but in our faith in our spirits. And so when he says we do not war after the flesh, we've got to see that 59 times that's translated according to the flesh. So my flesh, it still wants the same sin. It still has the same struggle. It still has the same weaknesses that I had before I got saved, before I got born again. So I'm not even going to depend upon it in any way. I'm going to recognize, hey, that's my weak link. But my strong link is that because I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, I'm not going to war. I'm not going to depend upon what I can do or not do in the flesh. I'm going to depend upon what the Bible says. For we do not war after the flesh. But look what he says in verse number 4. For the weapons. You and I, we have weapons. We have something at our disposal. We have something that will defeat the devil. We have words that will make us wonder instead of words that will bring weeds in our life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, you've got to recognize, I've got to recognize tonight, that we're in a war. And this warfare here, what's so exciting about that? It means that you or I are in a military campaign for God the Father, but it means that we have an apostolic call. The same calling that Paul had, you and I have. Because see, the word apostolic, it means to be sent. Jesus told you and I to go. That means everywhere that we go, the more that we obey that call, the more the anointing of the apostolic comes. comes on our life. And the more the anointing comes on our life, the more that you and I, as we talked about this morning, the more that we decrease and more that the revelation and the will and the plan and the power and the promise of God increases in our life. So you and I were in this warfare, but look what he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Aren't you glad? I don't have to depend upon what I know. I don't have to depend upon what I can remember. I don't have to depend upon my strength in this flesh body or this strength in my mental capacity. My strength is not determined about me. It's determined about the cross. It's determined about Jesus. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are powerful. They have force. Come on, you have something that is forceful. They are mighty. What's your channel of strength? Through God. Because you have a relationship with God the Father. That means that everything that God is and what He stands for, that's at your disposal. Through God. That's your source. That's your channel. That's a channel of all blessing. Now, what is this channel? What does it provide to the believer? To the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down. This word means to demolish. So a stronghold is like a castle. It's like a place that's inaccessible. So when you and I, when we were raised up in this world, we were raised by fallen parents. We were raised by a fallen generation because we too were fallen, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even though our parents may have somewhere along the way got born again, they at the time of our conception and the time that God put our spirit and soul in this flesh body, we were in a lost and undone state. And in that lost and undone state, we were vulnerable to all of the words. See, while you were in your mother's womb, while I was in my mother's womb, every word that was spoken, our spirit was picking that up. And our soul was hearing that, and it was having an effect on our body. That's why there's been documented case after case where there have been people in comas. And as people are around them, prayed for them, as they offered words of encouragement, when they woke up out of that coma, they said, I heard every word that was spoken. So that's the words that make us wonder. But while you and I are vulnerable in our mother's womb, the devil made sure that we heard all kinds of weeds, all sorts of things that would bring discouragement to us. And so we've got to step back and we've got to go, now I'm not going to let what I've heard in the natural, in the past, I'm not going to let that have a harvest out of my life. I'm going to take the channel that God has gave me, this mighty powerful force, and I'm going to demolish every preconceived ideal, every architectural design that the devil had for me. I say no. I'm going to put the dynamite of the Word of God to it, and I'm going to say, foundation, you be destroyed, because my foundation is thus saith the Lord. My foundation is Jesus. Amen? Now notice what he said. He said, through the pulling down of strongholds, you've got to use violence. Verse number 5 is the prime of the same word, casting down imaginations. See, every one of us, we have thoughts. We have imaginations in our life. Every one of us, you and I, we think about what we're going to do tonight when we get home. We imagine that. We think about what we're going to do tomorrow, next week, next month. We've got a plan. We've got an imagination. And those imaginations, they can be tainted with weeds or they can be inspired with awe and wonder of God. And so we've got to make sure what we're hearing is by the Lord. And we've got to make sure that if it's not of God, that we demolish it. He said, casting down, destroying, demolishing imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So anything that comes to you, anything that tells you that you can't do something. Come on. Every one of us, we have certain things. There'll be something that'll come into your life, and all of a sudden you think, you know, I need to do this. I need to go talk to this person, or I need to apply for this job, or I need to be in this place. And all of a sudden, something bears witness down deep inside of you in your spirit, and you say, I need to do that. And then all of a sudden, here, that's a word of wonder, but here comes the weed. well, what if you do that? What if they say this? Or what if that doesn't work out? What if this is just your own thinking or your own way or your own will? If you've got to get this settled in your spirit. If you're born again, continually the Holy Spirit is talking to your spirit. And He's inspiring you to do things. And you don't have to worry about getting out on your own and doing something, because if it's something that is good, every good gift comes from God, right? James tells us that. And it's inspired. And so if it's something good, you have the assurance it's not about self. It come from the Lord. And so you can bank on that you need to do it. But when the devil comes and he says, well, what will so-and-so think? Or do you have the time to do that? Do you have the money to do that? Do you have the ability to do? All of those things are weed words. And so what do we got to do? We got to immediately cast those things down. And he said to demolish it, and the word means to use violence. See, in the Gospels, Jesus, out of his own mouth, he said that you and I, we have to take the kingdom of heaven by violence. Why? Not because we're fighting God. But we're fighting through the devil and all of his lies and all of his imps to be able to get into what God would have for us. We're going to have to put out an effort. And so you're going to have to recognize and realize that if the Bible says it, it's for you. It's for me. So you have to believe that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Well, no matter what your body's telling you. No matter what your mind is telling you, no matter what the relationship looks like or feels like, you've got to stand up and say, now, wait a minute. This is what the Bible says, and this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm seeing. So I cast that weed down in the name of Jesus. I hold on to the wonder of the Lord. Amen? Now, what happens when we do that? Casting down imaginations and every high thing, not just some, but every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every... There you go again. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be walking along and everything is going just great. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about how good God is and everything. And all of a sudden, here comes this curveball of a thought. And it comes into my mind. And it comes in so quick and it's such a slant. And it has such an impact on me. It just startles me. And all of a sudden, I start thinking about something negative, or something hurtful, or something harmful, or something detrimental, or whatever it might be, and it takes my mind completely away from the Lord in His will and His work, His way of that moment. Well, I've got a choice to make. Now, I've got to gauge that, how it makes me feel. Oh, does it create hope? Does it create a vision of God's will or plan? And the answer, of course, is not. It does not. So in the name of Jesus, I say, wait a minute. Through the channel of God, I use the force of the Lord. And I cast that down. I say, no, in the name of Jesus. Now, when I do that, that's my part. Now, look at God's part. This is where you and I need to get so excited. Verse number 6. Because the channel of the Lord, because of Jesus, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you and I, when we do verses 4 and 5 through the channel of the Lord, then all of a sudden God sees our faith in His Word. He sees our action of implementing it. And then He sees the disobedience of the devil trying to preach another Jesus, trying to preach another gospel, trying to bring another spirit into your spirit. And what does He do for you and I? He stops it. He stops it. Now notice what it said. When your obedience is fulfilled, then He will revenge. God Himself will come against all disobedience. See, because Jesus has done and defeated the devil, when you and I work the Word according to His will, then you and I have an assurance that the devil has a leash that is only so long. And God will what? He'll pull you and I back just one step away. The enemy's right there, but he can't touch you. Amen? That's your confidence. That's my confidence tonight. We've got to believe that. We've got to stand on that and let it have the full power in our life. Now, notice what he said. Back in the last part of verse number 5, he said that you and I, we could bring into captivity every thought. Every thought. We talked about this Wednesday night, Brother Donnie. We talked about this word captivity. And this word captivity, it means to make a prisoner of war. It means, and if you take it back to the prime, it means to use the tip of a spear. And I pulled out my knife and I asked Brother Josh, I said, now if I come up behind you and I put that point in the middle of your back and then I grabbed you by the shoulders and I said, let's go this way or that way, you would what? You'd follow, wouldn't you? Wherever that point, when you felt that point in your back, you would go that way. Okay? You and I, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that we have the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is a two-edged sword. And so we take the word of the Lord and we put it in the back of the devil. Every one of his fallen angels, every one of his lies, and we say, I'm taking you captive. Because the Bible tells me whatever someone sows, that's what they reap. You've tried to sow captivity in my life, but I've been made free by Jesus, so I'm going to bring captivity into your life. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. I'm not going to submit to that weed word, but I'm going to be in wonder. I'm going to be in awe of the word of the Lord. Amen? And I start walking higher, you start working higher. And we walk in this freedom and this liberty that is given to us by Jesus. Amen? Now, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go to chapter 2. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. Verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. He said, lest Satan... Now, we'll jump back and read verse 10 in just a minute, but I want you to get this in your heart. He said, lest Satan, and in the Greek, this has the article to it. And so every time you see the name Satan, it means accuser, but it has the article here, and it says the accuser. The devil, all he does continually is accuse you and I. Come on, Revelation chapter 12 tells us that he's the accuser of the brethren night and day. But lest Satan, lest the accuser, should get an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So, this word is translated thought in one place. It's translated mind in four different places. But you and I have got to see that what he's talking about here, the mind of Satan is so bent on corruption, is so bent on deception, is so bent on death. All he can think about is hurting God. And the way he can hurt God is by hurting you, by hurting me, because God loves us so much. And so I need to see that the mind of the devil is going to always be trying to get an advantage over me. And the way he's going to do that, he's going to be accusing me. Yes, in front of God, that's for sure. But he's going to come to you and me, and he's going to say, you're not worthy. You haven't done this. You thought that. No, devil, I didn't think that. You put that thought in my mind. I'm not even capable of thinking that thought. So you take it and you get in the name of Jesus, right? Because he wants to accuse you. He wants to take you. Never pray enough. It's always about doing more. No, I'm finished in Jesus. Amen. The Bible tells me that I'm already complete. You're complete in Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to believe these weed words. I'm going to be in wonder. I'm going to be in awe of what Jesus the Word is doing in my life, because what I have believed and accepted through the cross. Amen. Now notice what he said. Lest he should get an advantage of us. So the number one way the devil works is in verse 10. Right here, Paul is dealing with some unforgiveness, and he says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. So one of the ways that the devil gets an advantage over people is that he wants to make you and I think that we haven't forgave, because what does he do? He gets in our mind and he brings up the past. He brings up what somebody's done, what somebody said, and he said, oh, if you had really forgave them, you wouldn't be thinking about that. But see, you and I, we're not ignorant of his devices. We understand. He's not going to get an advantage of us because we know what His mindset is. And you and I, we have been commanded to forgive by faith. And it's not has nothing to do with whether we forget or not. I want to forget just for the fact that I want every door shut to the devil. But some things God doesn't want us to forget. Because just because we forgive somebody, we're not to be a doormat to them. And if we forget everything and they haven't changed, they'll do the same thing to us again. And so there's one thing about forgiving, another thing about being wise and not letting them bring another opportunity in your life, in my life. But that's another sermon for another time. I want us to concentrate on this mind thing. Let's go over with me to the third chapter. We're in the second chapter, 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. The Apostle Paul is talking about Israel. And look what he says about them. 2 Corinthians 3:14. He said, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil," talking about the veil that was on Moses' face, "untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." And so, reason why we're reading this, we're seeing one of the way that the devil gets an advantage of people is that he tries to tell people that they can't understand the Bible. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Well, I read it, but I just don't understand it"? Don't say that. That's the devil wanting you to come in agreement with that thought. Because it doesn't matter if your mind understands it or not right now, because your mind is being renewed, the Bible tells us that in Romans 12:2, by the Word. Your spirit understands exactly what's being said. And so even though there's a lot of things that my mind is going, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you nuts? You better stop right now." But my spirit is saying, "Go, go." And so I'm not going to trust my mind. Come on. The part of my mind that hasn't been renewed by this Word of God, you can't trust it. It will limit you. It will hinder you. And so I've got to bring my mind, remember my thoughts, every thought under the obedience of Christ. Christ is the Word. So what I'm feeling in my spirit is the Word that's being spoke to my spirit by the Holy Spirit. I obey that Word. It causes my mind to be renewed. But in the moment that it's not, I trust that God will help me overcome what the devil's saying. Come on, the words of weeds, and I take in the words of wonder, and then I come into the place of productivity. Amen? So Israel was blinded because of the veil was still there. But you and I, we look into Scripture and we see where Jesus, when He said, "It is finished," the veil of God was torn in twain from top to bottom. So there's no secrets. You and I, now there's secrets in the world, but you and I, we have the mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. Right now, He's writing to the church and He tells them that. So we've got to decree that out of our own mouth, and we've got to say it, and we've got to believe it. I have the mind of Christ. Now, why do we need to say that? 2 Corinthians 4. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," say, "I've got a ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not." In other words, we don't grow weak, but we grow stronger and stronger. You and I, in these last days, we've got a ministry to reach a whole generation with the truth. Now stay with me. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now, notice what he says, verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Remember, Paul said that there are going to be people preaching another gospel, another Jesus. They have another spirit. And so the only ones that are not hearing the good news are those who are lost. And so it's your job, it's my job, to what? To get them born again, to get them saved. And why are they lost? So we can get our emphasis not on what they're doing or saying, where we get easily offended or discouraged. Look what it says in verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it's your job, it's my job to simply believe God. Now, if I believe God, He said that the fullness of the gospel would come and reveal to me the image of God through Christ. Now, Christ, who is the image of God, what does that mean? That means as Christ is working in your life, day by day, you're going to be sanctified. Day by day, you're going to be changed. Day by day, from glory to glory, you're being changed into the image that God destined you to be. So these words of wonder are being revealed to you. And as they're being revealed to you, remember Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 that you are the light of the world. So that gospel is shining into you. It's changing you. And you're hearing these words of wonder. And you're going out into all of these people who have just been took over by all the weeds of the God of this world. And you're shining a light to them. Now, what happens when the hot sun shines on the weeds? Come on, the hot sun of the Holy Ghost in your life can burn out the life of the weeds in these people. And you and I can say, listen, they're blinded by the God of this world. They don't know how to love, but I'm going to teach them. They don't know how to receive, but I'm going to give and give to them by the power, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God until they learn how to receive what God has for them. Amen? And you and I, we get stronger and stronger, and we get more in His way. And as we get more in His way, the wonder. People look and they say, I used to know them. I've seen them. I've heard about them. They're nothing like what I've seen in the past. They're nothing like what I've heard in the past. Something is working in their life. Amen? And so I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be in that place tonight. In closing, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, you're going to meet the devil, and we'll talk about this more in the future, but you're going to meet the devil head on, and you're going to meet him face to face. He's going to try to breathe his spirit on you. He's going to try to breathe his spirit on me. But we've got to recognize that we can look into the face of the enemy because we've got the veil that is took off. We are not blinded. We're looking right through the enemy and we're seeing Jesus on the other side. See, because the devil has done been penetrated by the cross. The light of the Lord shines plumb through the darkness of death. And you and I have the confidence when death comes, when the devil comes, we can see right through everything he's trying to work in our life. Amen? Here's how we do it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered in the Lord, not in yourself, and in the power, in the dominion of His might. So you've got to see that Jesus has an ability to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And you have the admonition here, you have the commandment here that you can be strong in the ability, the might of the Lord. How do you do that? Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the words of the devil, the work of the devil, the way of the devil, all of those things, those words that are seed of weeds, you're going to be able to recognize them. You're going to see what they are and what they're doing, and you're going to be able to stand against them. Now, notice what he said, verse 12. For we wrestle not against, now mark this down in your Bible, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, all of these against words, except the first one, is a Greek word pros. And pros means face to face. I mean, it means just as close and intimate as you can get. So he said that you and I, we're going to be wrestling against, face to face, with principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're going to be face to face with them. But remember, you're looking through them because you have the Word of the Lord. You have Jesus. And that Word of the Lord is the light that shines through every work of the enemy where you can see the truth. Amen? Now, let's document that in closing. John 1 and 1. We could just quote it, but I think we'd be better to turn there and to read it. John 1 and 1. You know this. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God. Mark this down on the table of your heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same in the beginning was the same in the beginning with God. Now, with is what? Pros. Face to face. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was face to face with God the Father. Jesus was face to face with God the Father. So, now you're born again, not by flesh and blood, but you're born again by the Word, the incorruptible seed. So, you have the same ability through Jesus to be face to face with the Word. The Word Jesus is what destroyed the devil. Amen? So we're going to wrestle with the devil, and he's going to come and he's going to put his ugly face. He's going to breathe in your face, trying to get you to receive another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. But you are going to be able to look right through him and see the truth. Amen? You're going to not be in the place of weeds, but in the place of wonder. The place of wonder. And so I've got to let that be my strength. I've got to let that be the reality of who I am. Because he said, as you take on that whole armor of God, that you've got a helmet of salvation. So when the devil starts trying to bombard your mind, just start thanking God. I've got a helmet of salvation. A helmet will protect your mind. Come on. I'm saved. No matter what the devil says, no matter what I feel, no matter what it looks like, I'm saved. I have a destiny. I have something to do. I'm going somewhere. Amen? All is going to be well. And when you and I get in that place, in that position, it changes everything. Amen? All right. So, tonight, I want you to leave here in the place and the position of who you truly are. And that you have the ability by the filter of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to gauge every word that is coming around you. When all of these voices start coming, you're going to say, no, 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 yes. And you're going to be able to be in a place where you're inspired by the yes. Because when you say yes to God, that means you're agreeing with Him. And when you come in agreement with God, then that means the will of the Father from heaven is going to be manifested in your life in this earth. Amen? That's what we're looking for. That's what we're believing for. And it's God's will that nobody perish. And so I'm believing for an awakening, aren't you? I'm believing that the church is going to be anointed like never before to be able to touch people and to bring them out of everything that they're seeing. All of these lies and everything that is working so hard. But you and I, we're going to learn. We're going to learn how to look through the enemy, through that face, and see the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this group of people that love you. I thank you, Lord, that you have inspired inside of them the very vision of what you're going to do in these last days. That you're raising up a generation. You're getting them ready to meet the devil head on. To show your very glory in the earth. To show your gospel in the earth. To show your greatness in the earth through your church. Lord, I ask that any battle that anybody might be facing right now, any lie that has tried to just take hold and to be a word, that I ask that by the power of the Spirit of God that you would help every person stand up that is in Jesus and say, my mind is not a trash can. Devil, I am not going to receive your trash in Jesus' name. I'm going to have a Holy Ghost filter. And I'm going to be able to receive the words of life. I'm going to handle the words of life with reverence. And my reverence to that word of life is going to bring the very manifestation of Jesus and His will like never before. Lord, right now, just minister to every person. And there's some contradiction in people's lives. That's under the sound of my voice. There's some contradiction in my life. But we're going to stand on the covenant promises. We're going to stand on the Word and let you do what only you can do. We ask these things right now, believing that we receive. Let it be, Father, in Jesus' name. tonight, if you're here and you would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, I want to just spend a little time with you. I want to hear what you have to say above what I'm feeling, above what I'm seeing. I want to be able to recognize that I've been facing the devil face to face. And I want to be able to, by the Spirit of God, look through his lie, his deception, his darkness, and see the Word. See, every time the devil wrestles against you and I, it's because you're fixing to step into a new Word. You're fixing to step into a new season. And he wants to block off from you and I the ability to be able to see that. Would you make yourself an altar and just spend some time with him tonight and see what he would say to you? No matter what you're feeling or seeing, God's not a liar. And you're not a hypocrite. You're just in a battle. And the devil's trying to convince you of something other than the truth. But you and I are going to stand, live, and go in that truth. Amen.